what's the impact of the new MIME, multimedia and the messaging on the internet standards, on the operation of things like gateways between the domains?
Well, I feel that the impact is quite enormous, but that's a one-time impact, I expect. As far we've been studying this again in an IETF working group, the MIME MHS working group, and looking at the operational issues, I feel that the problem will be to get it working, mapping MIME body parts into X488 body parts with the appropriate object identifiers and on the MIME side with appropriate MIME identifiers. That's going to be a pain to install these gateways, get them up and running, and make sure they work. That's going to cost a lot of manpower for 1 year, let's say. After that, I don't see that we get more operational problems than with usual text-based stuff. Once we got it up and running, I expect that the operational problems for binary or textual body parts disappears.
It sounds like you view a world in which there are several message handling domains and gateways between them as a normal way of doing things. Would you agree with that?
I'm afraid I have to agree with that. I don't see that as the ideal way of doing it. I'd rather have one protocol and, you know, just keep it RCA22 with PEM for the people who want secure and authenticated mail, and with MIME for the people who want to ship around all kinds of body parts. However, that's not the situation we end up in, and I must say we now support the X400, and I'm quite positive. I'm much more positive about the X400 than most people are. There's a lot of good things to X400. The worst thing about X400 is probably the size of the standard, which has caused implementers to be frightened and not get real good implementations out there in a relatively short time frame. And implementations are getting on the market more and more now, and we will end up with an internet where RFC 822, MIME, PEM will still be the dominant protocols. I foresee that especially in commercial companies, in the commercial world, PTOs and stuff like that, that X400 is going to play a major role in wide area email networking. I think that X400 is on the market too late to have its original goal achieved, which was end-to-end connection by X400. I think that marketplace is now being taken over by the local area email products like CC Mail, Leonardo da Vinci Mail, and Microsoft Mail and stuff like that. Those are much more popular, and especially now Lotus and Microsoft have gone together and defined MAPI and VIM, those interfaces. I think that's the standard of the future on local area networks, especially in commercial environments, and that all these islands of local area networking mails will be coupled by either SMTP in maybe in the United States, but certainly in Europe and Asia, I expect a lot of X400 to be used in between those islands. And the only thing I'm very much worried about is that Microsoft or Lotus or other big companies will start on having their own wide area protocol, which is happening more or less now by both Lotus and Microsoft have now defined a tunneling mechanism where they can tunnel their own mail format through SMTP or X400, doesn't matter, to another Microsoft mailer or Lotus mailer who can read the stuff, the binary stuff. And the problem you get then is that you get more or less a sort of wide area Microsoft mail or wide area Lotus mail. And then you have to gateway that into MIME or into X488. And then we have X protocols with X over N gateways in between. And then if we ever get that situation, email has lost. I mean, the users, the end users have lost. Then we lose global connectivity. And that's the worst that can happen. We can still manage it with two protocols. The ideal would be one protocol. We can still manage it with X488 and RC82. We would still be able to swing it. if we get anything more than that, then...
With two backbone protocols.
Two backbone protocols,
wide area...
Whatever people use in the local area network, one doesn't care. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as they got a good gateway, then that's something that will be dictated by the market, whether a gateway is good or not. So I'm not too frightened about that. But for the wide area, we'll have to keep it down to two. And preferably one, but that's politically a non-goal. So let's try and keep it down to two. And then we might still swing it. If we get more than that, we got a problem. And this is one of the things that the MIME MHS group is currently discussing with Lotus and Microsoft, and trying to I managed to get contact people there of the product teams that work on wide area and on gatewaying the local area protocols, the wide area email protocols. And we're currently involving them in discussions on trying to show them that we got the experience now in trying to develop a MIME to X400 gateway, what a disaster it would be if we would have to develop a Microsoft mail to X400 gateway for the wide area stuff.
Do you see the IETF as a good place to bring companies together and enforce that kind of
certainly.
A compromise?
It's the only place I know where we can do that. I don't know of any other body where we would be able to do that.
And well, no, there's private consortia. There's the ATM forum. There's a frame relay forum. Do you think those also play a role, or are those just kind of aberrant efforts?
I think they play a role in their respective areas. But if you're still at the basis of trying to develop an operational view of the future, I think that there's none of these platforms work in that direction, especially for email. There's no other platform where I would know where you can think about such things.
Well, why is it that the IETF works as a place to bring these kinds of issues to the table and maybe even get them resolved?
It works because you got all kinds of people there. You got people from universities who manage who either develop the protocols, do research studies, or manage the university networks. You got service providers who manage regional or national backbones, or international even. You got developers, software developers. You got even hardware people in there. And you got network consultants in there. That means you got really all the players in the field come to the IETF, and it's the only place I know where you get all the players in the field.
Now, some people say getting all the players after a while makes it just so big that you can't get any work done. Do you think that's happening?
That's a risk we run. That's a risk that the IETF runs. But I think that the IETF will survive. In such a way, it will still be a success because it has built a history of how people have to deal with each other. There's a modus operandi which is defined without really having been written down. But there is a modus operandi, and newcomers to the IETF are being taught how to do that. And if everybody keeps to that, I think we stand a very good chance of getting all these people in and still being able to get useful work done, but with a lots of consensus and a large consensus, because you got all the people in there. Most of the consortia you were talking about are consortia built by implementers. That means that users and service providers have no say whatsoever in what's happening, and they have to take whatever comes out of a consortium like that. While one of the reasons that ServNet pays me to do work in the IETF and to sit on the Internet Engineering Steering Group is that we feel that ServNet, as a service provider, gets a chance there to have its opinion expressed and taken into the consensus building, and that's important.
This is Geek of the Week, featuring interviews with prominent members of the technical community. Geek of the Week is brought to you by O'Reilly & Associates and by Sun Microsystems.